This is the I Love Success podcast. I'm Peter Drukowski, and I have made a vow to myself to help as many people as possible to achieve their dreams. Let's get started. Hey guys, and welcome to the I Love Success podcast. This is the podcast where I meet the coolest and most successful people on the planet and share their stories. I'm glad to be on this journey together with you. What started as an idea has now become a movement. My mission is to help 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. I can't do it myself, and because of that, I'm so grateful to all my amazing guests and listeners from all over the world. Thank you. Get ready to get inspired, because here we go. But before we get started, let's give it up to our sponsor, Panos Emporio. Panos Emporio is Scandinavia's leading swimwear brand and has over 30 years of experience in swimwear. Panos Emporio offers bikinis, swimsuits, swim shorts, briefs, cover-ups, accessories, along with a fragrance collection inspired by Paradise Island. The brand has a worldwide loyal customer base with dedicated followers, ranging from Hollywood stars and top celebrity models to world-famous athletes and royal families. Go to panos.com to learn more. Today, we'll meet a real athlete and a true fighter. His name is Christos Giagos, and he is a professional MMA fighter. Christos has always loved sports, and as a young kid, he did football, basketball, and wrestling. At age 19, he started doing MMA, and a year after, he made his pro debut. 8 years and 21 fights later, he's working harder than ever, looking to evolve and become the best he possibly can. During his career, he has been fighting in the UFC and won 3 titles in 3 different organizations. Welcome, Christos.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you doing today?
Good. I'm always been an early person, so thanks for having me. I'm bright and early, and I'm glad I get to share my experience.
Thank you. So when do you usually wake up in the morning?
For the most part, I'm up at like 6 or 7 at the latest. I don't get to sleep in past 8 unless it's the weekend. But even then, sometimes my body's just so used to waking up early. I wake up at like 7:30. I'm trying to sleep in, but it doesn't work sometimes.
what has been most beneficial for you with waking up early?
You just have a lot more in the day. You have a lot more time to get things done. You can get your training done early. I mean, sometimes I'm completely done training by like 11, 12 p.m. and then I got the rest of the day to kind of work and teach and get things done.
Growing up, why did you like sports? Do you remember the first time someone showed you what sports were, and why was it so attractive to you?
Actually, I know that very well. I think I was about 4 or 5 years old, and I used to look up to my dad a lot, and he loved sports. You know, that's all he watched, football, basketball. I just remember always seeing my dad into sports. So as a kid, I would always want to try to impress my dad. I remember being in Greece when I was about 5 years old, and I had a basketball. And I was like, hey, dad, look at me. And I like could throw the ball under my leg. Or, hey, dad, look again. And I would always try to get his attention, you know. Then a couple years later, I had a friend who was playing Pop Warner football, and I thought that was cool. My dad watched the football. I want to play football. That would be awesome to play. So right away I went home. I asked my dad, hey, can you sign me up? You know, and at the time we didn't really have the money because it was like $200 to play, but I kind of just begged and really wanted to play. And I ended up, he ended up signing me up for football. And in the very beginning, I wasn't very good, so he wanted to take me off the team. But I insist, like, no, let me play. I can do this. And then later that same year of football, I ended up starting as a center, being the lightest guy on the team, but playing as a lineman, which is pretty ironic. But then that it all started from there. Once I played football, I started becoming more athletic. I was only like, 7, 8 years old at the time, so.
And you were a small kid?
Yeah, I was very small. Actually, at my age, it put me at very minimum the junior peewee. That's like a division in Pop Warner football. But there's also a weight category. So sometimes if kids are like junior peewee age, but they weigh too much, they'll bump them up a division kind of. But in my division, I was too old to go below, but I didn't weigh enough to be at that in that division. So sometimes they would like try not to let me play because I was too light.
Yeah.
But I always found a way to get in there. I always just stuff my pad so I can make weight kind of and play. And my coaches always love me because I had a heart. I always have some of the biggest hits as one of the smallest guys on the team. And even in high school, playing football, the same thing. I was small, but I always was out there to get it. And yeah, coaches loved my hard work, my work ethic.
Do you know... Let's talk about work ethic. Do you know where that comes from? Did you see, because you're from an immigrant family, I'm from an immigrant family, and my parents worked so hard, you know, because coming to a new country is not so easy.
Yeah.
So do you think it has something to do with that, your work ethic, or?
You know, I think so, because like you said, when my parents came down here, they didn't have a lot. You know, my mom worked two jobs as a waitress to make the bills, the payments. She would have people live in our house, and I saw how hard she worked, and I think just growing up, it kind of taught me, like, in life, you have to, you know, if you want things, you're going to have to work for it, and I guess I kind of put that into playing sports, you know, like, I wanted it so bad to impress my dad, actually, and from the beginning, I did whatever I can to succeed in it, you know. And any sport I tried, I always just hustled. You know, I wasn't very good at soccer, but when I played with my friends, I always did well because I was just running, and I would try to outwork the other players, you know. Yeah. Sometimes I wouldn't be the best skilled, but I'd be the hardest worker.
Yeah. I can totally relate to that because I did karate for many years, mm-hmm. and I was always the smallest kid, uh-huh. And I wasn't very good as well, but I had the heart and the work ethic, and I outworked a lot of people. And in the end, like, we're sitting here, you've been in the UFC, you had more than 20 fights, so that work ethic you'll usually pass other people, right? Talent could sometimes be a curse for many people.
No, absolutely. And it takes about to just my first fight in general. I trained for about, you said, for example, I want things so my first year wrestling, I did my senior year in high school. I ended up getting the MVP of the whole school that year of my wrestling team. And I think talent starts to play a little factor in there, but I've always just outworked everybody. That was my thing. And then I started learning techniques and stuff like that. But my first fight, I didn't really have a whole lot of technique. I just didn't stop. I knew if I need to win this fight, like, you're fighting for your life in there. If I need to win this fight, I'm not going to let him breathe. I need to outwork him. And I guess that's kind of like my style. It's just, I'm just push until he breaks or I break.
Yeah. But what's going on in your mind? Because this is a trait that I think if everybody had that trait, imagine how the world will look like, right? And I mean, you're a confident guy, but you're still very calm in yourself. It feels like you're thinking a lot about things. And where does this come from, this ability to keep pushing when most people would have quit?
I guess I'm just really afraid of failure, you know? I don't want to fail, and I feel like if I give up, that's me failing. At least if I give it my all, I can say I tried, you know? I can accept failure, but I can't accept not trying. That's a quote from Michael Jordan, by the way, but it's like something I really, really believe in.
And have you had any early in your life, have you had any like failures that made you, I don't want to go there again? Is it something like that, or do you think, or is it like you wanted to make your dad proud, so I'm not gonna quit? Or
I think that's more of what it was. Just I wanna impress my family. I wanna make something of myself so bad that giving up's not an option. You know, basically, quitting's not an option, I guess you could say. So I'll just do whatever I can to succeed, or work as hard as I can to succeed.
So why did you start with MMA? Was this after wrestling that led you to MMA, or what happened?
Yeah, I kind of just fell into it, you know. I wrestled in high school, met some buddies. We watched a UFC event one time. I think it was like Chuck Liddell and Wanderlei Silva. and we saw that there was like wrestling with, you know, like a street fight pretty much. And I didn't really know what jiu-jitsu was at the time, but me and my friends, we grabbed some MMA gloves we got from like Sportsmart or something, and we like broke into the wrestling room and we had like a little fight night with our friends, like, but we went for real and we were just crazy. And I end up, you know, fighting some guy nobody wanted to fight. He was like 100 pounds heavier than I was, and I ended up like knocking him out. And in a weird way, I liked that feeling, but you know, I feel bad for my friend. But right away, I knew about this gym in Redondo that I signed up for, and I got triangle choked like the first day. I thought I was winning like my wrestling, but he put me in a choke with his legs, and I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what I just felt. I just tapped out, and I kind of fell in love with it, you know. And I kind of liked the individuality in it. Like, you don't have to worry about another team. You know, I always play team sports like basketball, football, and when I wrestled and I used to get my hand raised, I remember like, dang, like this is all me. You know, this is like a really good feeling. Like the rush was amazing, and I knew fighting was gonna be like that. So after like watching like season 9 of The Ultimate Fighter, my goal was to try out for that show, which I later ended up trying out and made it back to Vegas actually, but I just didn't make that final cut. But you know, I had a goal and I worked towards it, and I ended up making it to the UFC. So at the end, I guess I accomplished what I started.
But how did that feel? Like a young, you were 24. 24. A young kid gets signed for the biggest show in the world for MMA. Like how was that feeling?
It was surreal. It felt amazing. It felt like it wasn't really, it didn't really hit until I went to Brazil for the first fight in the UFC. But like, I just couldn't believe it. I was happy, but I was like, always like, I hope it pulls through. I hope it pulls through, because you always have this like weird sense of like it's not real until you show up to the stadium and you're like, okay, no, it's real, it's happening, you know. So
it's so, like, I think we're pretty similar in that sense, because my last competition was in Sydney in the world championship in Shotokan karate, and I won a bronze medal, but the award ceremony was one day later. Uh-huh. And I didn't believe that I won until I got the medal. I was like, yeah, did this happen? Something can. And I think that, I don't know what it is. I don't think it's good, because then I see other people that are like, even if nothing's gonna happen, they still celebrate it, even if it falls through. But I can't do that. I want to have it like on paper, like fight, like. And I feel you. So when you got that opportunity, you had that rush of feeling great. Did you have any other feelings?
You know, just the doubt, you know, that comes back to play. Like, when you start questioning yourself, like, are you good enough? Do you really belong? You know, was that flying knee I got, was that lucky because he gassed out? Do I deserve to be here? All these questions go through your head, and it's tough. You know, you shouldn't doubt yourself. I think being cocky is bad, but, you know, having a little sense of confidence is good. And I think that's what I used to lack. I'm getting better at it now, especially with like training with more guys in the UFC, and how well I do with them. It really gives me a little bit more confidence. So as I'm getting older, as I'm maturing, I'm gaining that confidence. But definitely in the beginning, like, you know, being 24 years old, you know, you're in the big show with all these guys and you're just like, damn, like, do I belong?
Yeah.
Do I deserve to be here? So
how was your first fight in the UFC? How was that experience?
It was good. They wanted me to go to Brazil and fight Gilbert Burns. And Gilbert Burns, a little background on him, he's a 4-time world champion in jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
He actually is, you know, Vitor Belfort.
Yeah.
He was actually at the time Vitor's coach, his jiu-jitsu coach. And Vitor brought him on The Ultimate Fighter to, like, help teach the guys. He was, I guess, a big name, you know, in the jiu-jitsu world for sure. And a lot of people thought they threw me to the wolves, you know. So I knew going in there, like, I was the underdog. This guy's jiu-jitsu off the hook, and I went in there, I wanted to stand with him, but I definitely could have trained better for it. But, you know, when the beginning of the fight went, I was like, dang, it's happening. Like, when Bruce Buffer first calls your name, yeah. you're just like, this is real, this is crazy. And then I was getting booed in Brazil. It was my first time, you know, fighting out of the country. And it was definitely an experience. But, you know, I started tagging him up a little bit on the feet. And I can tell he didn't want to stand with me no more. So he kind of caught me off guard, took me down. And I knew if I can get back up, I can defend the takedowns because my wrestling is pretty good. I just, the first takedown's always, I just didn't see that one coming, I guess yeah. you could say. But yeah, he got me on the ground. We were on the ground. I defended myself pretty much the whole round. And there was like the last 3 seconds where there was like a little transition. And yeah, I got caught with the arm bar with three seconds left. So, you know, if I could have saved that round going into the second round, I probably could have done a lot better for myself, be more cautious with the takedown, things like that. But I think it was a good experience, you know. And then my second fight, I went right back to Brazil. Like, all right, challenge accepted. Let's do it. They gave me a matchup. I liked the matchup. I went to the same arena, same spot in Brazil. And then I had my first round submission win at the UFC.
Yeah.
So it was like I got redemption a little bit, which is really cool.
That must have felt great.
That felt awesome. And then, but not one single person cheered for me.
I read an article about you when you said you were talking about getting cut from the UFC and that made you depressed. Can we just talk a little bit about that? Because here you are, you got your dream, you got your shot, and now all of a sudden you get cut from that dream. How does that feel?
It was one of just the worst experiences I've gone through to this day, you know, especially how it happened, because when you get cut by the UFC, usually you get cut after like 2 or 3 losses in a row. And in my experience, my third fight, it was a close fight, you know, I lost the decision. And, you know, some people actually could have said the fight could have gone my way. Yeah. But, you know, I lost. He wrestled me a little bit, but it was a great fight. The UFC actually re-signed me, sent me another contract for another 4-fight deal. So I'm, in my head, I'm like, oh, I'm good. You know, I'm going to get the fight at the very least one more time, you know? Yeah. So they kept me on the roster for about 6 months. I'm asking my manager, like, hey, is there a fight? I'm staying in shape because I don't want to get tired again. So because that was the fight that I got tired. I'm staying in really good shape, training hard. 6 months go by, nothing. Then I get a call from my manager saying, hey, the UFC, you're making some cuts. It's not something I did wrong, but it was just, you know, they're going to new management. The whole Reebok deal was going on. So they ended up cutting me. Yeah. Not because I did anything wrong, just because they're making pretty much trimming the roster up. Yeah. And the way I got cut, it just sucked.
It's almost even worse, right? Yeah, because you're waiting and you're like, I don't have anything to do with this.
But it was something that I didn't deserve to get cut. When that happened, you know, a lot of people who are in the UFC, my training partners, everyone was shocked. Like, what? Like, you got cut? Because before the fight I lost, I had a first round submission win. So it was like, you know, there's guys who lose 2-3 in a row and still get other chances. And it just really sucked, you know. But you got to kind of dig deep and keep pushing. Yeah, it was the fight after that really got me depressed, because I lost the fight right after that in another organization to Josh Emmett, who is currently like ranked number 6 or 7 in the world right now in the UFC. But so I lost that fight. Then this is my first time losing 2 in a row, and I went through a little depression, you know. Then all the doubts start coming back to your head, you know.
And how, like, what's happening? Can you just walk us through that? Because I think very few people have the opportunity. I think it's going through things like this, I think it's really good because it's made you stronger as a human being. When you're there, you don't want to recommend anybody to go through that. But I think it's also something that makes you a better fighter and a better human being. But can you just talk us through the feelings when, like, what happens in a person's mind? You do everything and it doesn't work out.
Then you start thinking about, what are you gonna do with your life? You're just sitting there like, dang, is fighting the route that I should be taking? That goes to your head, you know. what else? Then you start thinking about other things you can be good at, you know? So I thought I was just at home. I had no ambition to train. I was not training as much. I was trying to find other things to make money. You know, I had a broken hand, so I couldn't even really teach at the time. Yeah, just a lot of staying at home, a lot of thinking in your own head, a lot of doubt. But then what helped me was a lot of friends and family who were hitting me up saying, hey, listen, don't let this stop you. You're a great fighter. You know, the fight that I did lose again, it was a great fight. Just a lot of my friends and family, actually, that's what kind of pulled me out, was just believing in me. Yeah. And I started getting my confidence back a little bit. So I was like, all right, I'll do this again. And then I just kind of had a little switch off. And I'm like, I can do this. Yeah. So a switch went off my head. I started training hard again. I got a fight for the RFA against a very tough opponent who fought in the WEC, who was a big name. And everyone actually had some of my teammates saying, why are you taking this fight? You know, you should get like a tune-up fight. This is a tough fight and you're already down two in a row. But I heard Dana White was going to be at the show, and it was my opportunity to kind of make a big statement. And I had a huge knockout win in front of Dana White. Dana White even commented on the show after, saying that I looked like I belonged back in the UFC. And it just kind of like all that depression that I felt went out the window, and I kind of became a new man after that, and I've had a lot of success after that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and seeing you now, you're just coming off a great win in Brazil, right?
Yes.
So now you're the confident Christos again, right?
Yes. I got everything's falling back in the right tracks.
And do you think this experience have made you a better fighter in some
way? Absolutely. Definitely. Just going through that and knowing where I was, it's somewhere I don't want to go again, yeah. You know, in my own head. And at the end of the day, it's the work you put in, you know. You put in the work, you trust in yourself, and everything... not will, I don't want to, you know, promise everybody will fall in place, but you'll be a lot closer to your dreams than if you just sit and hope. And yeah,
one last question that I ask all my guests, and we're all about sharing, and we want to share tools. So what the listeners and the people that are watching that want to accomplish something, just like you have done, you've come so far, and this is just the beginning, right? You have a lot left.
Yeah.
But what tips or tool could you give them for something they can do right now to get started with their dreams?
Have a plan. I just think that that's what you need, you know. Have a written out plan of, first of all, at the very top, your main goal, and then everything below that, ways to get to that goal, you know. If it's like, for example, if they want to be a pro MMA fighter, okay? You gotta sign up for a gym. You gotta learn some ground. You gotta learn to stand up. Okay, after you do that for a little while, now you got to have a amateur fight. See how you do. You know, if that doesn't go well, what can you do to get better? So there's so many little things to get to that top goal. I think you just have to have a plan.
Yeah, I love that. Have a plan is so important. And I talk about in the gold book that I gave you now. Yeah. I hope you can have some benefits from that.
No, I'm excited to read that, actually.
Yeah, and... Christos, I'm so happy that we made it happen. I've been thinking about you for a very long time, and having you on, waited for the right moment, and here we are. Thank you so much for doing this and sharing your journey.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me. This was a lot of fun, and I got to think about a little bit more things I got to do to reach my goals. So that's awesome.
That's great. And thank you, everybody, for listening and watching to this. We had a lot of fun here today with Christos. I learned a lot that I'm going to implement in my whole own life. I hope you guys learned a lot. If you like this podcast, you know what to do. Subscribe and give us 5 stars. Share with your friends and family, because my big fat goal is to help 10 million people in 10 years to achieve their dreams. But every person is equally important, and you are so important to me. If I could help you, if Christos can help you just to move a little bit more forward and make a plan today with your goal, then this moment has been beneficial for all of us. So thank you so much and see you next week. Bye-bye.